This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
We have great listeners. A lot of listeners making the point like, hey, maybe the tepid response for Sean Payton was because he basically left them in salary cap chapter 11.
he left them
with the credit cards all maxed out and took off for Denver.
I didn't expect them to cheer or anything. Yeah. I think it's that kind of, it's just an uncomfortable situation where they respect what he did. But I mean, the Saints were the one team that was always super annoying because people would say, well, see, salary cap isn't real. Yeah, nope, you can do whatever you want. Like, nah, at some point you got to pay the piper. And Peyton kind of just lived that way, knowing that, hey, at some point I'm going to get the hell out of here and it's going to be their issue and not ours.
Yep.
So that, I mean, Bill O'Brien did the same damn thing. It's just he did it over the course of 1 year.
Yeah, well,
of extreme spending.
And did not create a Super Bowl contending team.
Right, that was a big thing.
Like, the Saints are always in it every year. I mean, Drew Brees is a big part of that, obviously, but yeah. Yeah, he left them high and dry. That's a good point.
I mean, Drew Brees is a little bit a part of that, too, just that they kept pushing his money off into the future.
Yeah.
They were still paying. He might still be on their cap a little bit.
He could be. Well, their cap is still in hell right now. They're in rough shape. And now they're not good at football, so there you go. All right, let's get to this. Let's preview this game, six-pack style. Storylines, people, things to watch for in this game. Let's start with number one. The return of DeNico Autry. This is a big one, especially considering the injuries the Texans have at linebacker and in the secondary. They're going to need to get a push up front. Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson have been doing a decent job of that this year. Will Anderson coming in as the reigning defending defensive player of the week in the AFC. But they get DeNico Autry back, and this will be really interesting to see what he looks like, having not played in an NFL football game since the end of last season, coming off of his six-game suspension for PEDs. Here was Matt Burke yesterday on what DeNico Autry adds.
I would say he's toughness, first and foremost. I would say he's a very unique rusher, just as a sort of, not really, I want to say hybrid, but as a big end and an inside rusher. I mean, he's had success at both spots, so it's he just offers some different pitches in terms of when he rushes inside, he rushes like an end inside, which is hard sometimes for guards. A lot of times offensive linemen interior there's not a lot of space. It's close quarters combat when you're rushing inside, right? And so sometimes there's not a lot of room for moves or things. You got to be a little bit more direct. Somehow he's able to create some space and rush. Like when you're rushing on the edge and you have sort a little bit more area to like build momentum and put a move on and stuff because you're operating in a wider space. He kind of brings that ability inside, which is kind of hard sometimes. It's pretty unique for him. So he can rush on the edge, he can rush inside. And I think he's just, because he's kind of like a in-between type of end tackle, he kind of brings a little different style of rush to the front.
Yeah, it's I was really intrigued by Matt Burke and the way he described that. So I went back and watched a little bit more of DeNico Autry to see what he was talking about. I think the key technical aspect to everything that Matt Burke just said was extreme violence. The extreme violence is how he does it. He's very powerful and explosive. But he's not a defensive tackle. People asked me yesterday, okay, can he play three technique? Not every down. He's not that big and that strong. But by defensive end standards, he's really explosive and strong. So he gets in there in close quarters, and he kind of just gives you the 6-inch death blow to create space. And then he's still skinny enough to get through small windows. And he's got a really good feel for getting his hands up in passing lanes, just taking the right angles. It's fun to watch him play, and I think it's going to be a big boost to that defensive line, which has been playing pretty well, but like this is just a different element. I think he might be the most violent defensive tackle on the defensive line, or defensive lineman on the defensive line.
Yeah, I'm very excited for the first third and long in this game with him and with Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter all on the field at the same time.
Now, one thing that another good thing that Matt Burke pointed out was that for a team that rotates their defensive line a lot, the Packers do a good job of making it hard to substitute. They just do a lot of quick count, no huddle stuff that just makes it hard to get guys on and off the field. So with a guy like Danico, whose first game back, you don't want him stuck out there for a 12-play drive.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see exactly how they scheme the rotation. It'll be interesting to me and like seven other people trying to figure that stuff out. Everybody else just watch the football game and enjoy
there
it.
There you go. All right, number two. We got injuries on defense, and how do these end up manifesting themselves? There's some things the Packers, if the Texans are missing Azeez Alshire and Henry Toa Toa in this game, along with what we know are going to be injuries in the secondary, how does this play out on the field, especially for a Packers team? This ain't the Patriots. They got a deep receiving core. They got a deep tight end room. They've got Josh Jacobs running the football. Here's Matt Burke yesterday on Green Bay and their ability to spread the ball all over the place.
Honestly, I think it probably like lends back into our philosophy of like, we've got to be good at what we're doing, because you can't say we're going to take this guy away and then that stops the offense, obviously. And I would say Matt's done a really good job of structuring the offense and coaching the quarterback to like get the ball to where it's supposed to go, right? You have a coverage, there's the answer, ball's out to it quick. So I think it sort of almost leans back into our saying like, man, we've just got to run our defense and play our coverages right and be tight when we need to be tight, or be off where we need to be off, or whatever that is, so that, yeah, because you're not just focusing on we got to take a guy out or anything like that. That's obviously not the case. They're all really good players, and they all do it. I think the structure of the offense is really good. They do a good job of just putting those guys in the spots to be successful, so we can't worry about who's where and which guy's doing what. We've got to sort of like play our defense and play our coverage and be right in our rules, and then it should play out from there.
The fun part is going to be, I think, playing it safe and conservatively, but then blitzing selectively, which is what D'Amico and Matt Burke have done a good job of all year, is that they still don't blitz a boatload. They're blitzing more than they usually have in the past. But on third downs especially, they'll release the hounds if they feel like it's time. And then you've got Jordan Love, who, as Marquez that we had on yesterday, the radio host from
Marcus
Wisconsin.
Eversole, yep.
Is it Marquez or Marcus?
Marcus. Marcus Eversole. Yeah, it looks like Marquez.
Spells it Marquez. All right.
It's
so
Marcus.
Yeah. Marcus said that Jordan Love is more Favre than Rodgers. Yeah. So Rodgers was very, very careful with the football. Favre was a recluse pirate with the football. And hopefully you see the more Favrean version when you're blitzing him, as long as everybody's covered downfield.
Yes.
And force Jordan Love into some errors.
That would be great if he threw one up in the game. Are you more concerned about the injuries at linebacker or the depleted secondary in this game?
I'm more concerned about linebacker because I think that which, I mean, that flows over into the safeties because I'm worried about play action.
Yeah.
And I think the Packers especially are just going to – they could feast over the middle. And, you know, that puts the safeties in a bind where they don't know how much, like, okay, the Packers are feasting over the middle. They want to come up and help out. And then all of a sudden that's when you have a coverage bust. So that all starts with the linebackers and potentially not being great in play action.
All right, let's get to number three. Doing the six-pack here. Storylines for the Packers game on Sunday with the Texans. Was last week's run game real? They put up 192 yards. It was very, very top-heavy. 59 of those came on a Joe Mixon run. 54 of those came on one Damian Pierce touchdown run. Here was Bobby Slowick yesterday on carrying Joe Mixon's New England game here into week 7.
Yeah, it's always, anytime you get a good player back, you know, it's always helpful for sure. I would say he made some really good plays in that game and would love to see that continue every game if we could. But the other thing that really jumped off in the last game was we really blocked well up front. You know, we had great intent. We were on the details of what we had to do. We were moving people that we needed to move. And that's New England's historically a very tough scheme. And our guys up front did a really good job to give Joe and Damian some daylight.
Okay. Was it real last week, Seth? What was real?
It was kind of real. I think part of the thing that's very real is that Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce are more explosive, have more big playability than Ogunbowale or Cam Akers, RIP. And so that part's real. I'm not as bullish on the actual blocking itself. I do think that some of the good stuff were some of these whams and traps that they ran where it's cool and that's a good mix up and that's a good thing to keep defensive linemen honest as a complement to your zone running game. But I still feel like they've still got a lot of stuff to clean up with their run blocking. But you're, instead of getting stuffed at the line of scrimmage with Joe Mixon, at the very least, you're going to get 3 or 4 yards on a lot of those plays where the blocking isn't perfect, and every now and then he's going to bust one out. So I'm not overly optimistic about it, but I'm just happy to have Joe Mixon and apparently, hopefully, this new version of Damian Pierce.
Well, they're banking on this new version of Damian Pierce.
Yes, they
are banking on it heavily. So we'll see. We'll see. My concern with the run game is, I was really happy last week. Again, I'd much rather have, I'll take 192 yards, a top-heavy version, compared to what they'd had without Joe Mixon, obviously. My concern still with this run game is in the, when you're not running for 50-plus yards on a play, are you putting C.J. Stroud in 2nd and 5 instead of 2nd and 9? When you're ahead, hopefully, in this game with 5 minutes to go, and the Packers have 2 timeouts, can you go get yourself 2 or 3 first downs without having to rely on CJ making unbelievable computer-generated throws to Nico Collins on 3rd and 11 to keep it? And I know Nico's hurt, but I'm referring back to the drive in the Colts game in week 1. Can you lean on the run game to do what run games are supposed to do in this offense when you're ahead at the end of games? I'm not confident in that right now.
And I think that's where Joe Mixon as a receiver comes in, though, too.
Yeah.
Is that there are as long as you can be in third and manageable or what have you, there's a lot of opportunities to get Joe Mixon the ball as a receiver.
Yep.
And so it all comes back to Joe Mixon. He's just got to stay healthy.
Got to stay healthy. All right. Number 4, Dalton Schultz. If not now, then when? Here was Bobby Slowick yesterday talking about C.J. Stroud, very complimentary of Dalton Schultz on things that probably the average fan doesn't see out there. Obviously, the stats haven't been there for Dalton yet. Here is Bobby Slowick on C.J. Stroud's complimentary or positive comments about Dalton Schultz.
Yeah, I'd say he kind of took that upon himself, you know. And we have a lot of movements in our offense. You know, there's some different formations, there's some different words. And when you have somebody back there that's not always only the quarterback, so everyone's not asking one guy all the questions. When you have somebody else back there that can just quickly give an answer, no, you're here, or you got a motion after this, or just really quick responses to get people on track is huge. And he really takes pride in doing that, and that's helped CJ immensely, I know. And then, you know, I know statistically he hasn't had the greatest start as far as receptions, but we've missed a couple throws, you know, that him and CJ are grinding through the connection. He's had some ops that we haven't made. And as the year goes, just like it has with a lot of the guys that we started the year that way, that'll continue to click.
Green Bay does not defend tight ends well, at least thus far.
No, they're one of the
worst
in the league. Yeah. They've let up they're in the top 5 for yards allowed to tight ends. So this is an opportunity for Dalton Schultz. Look, if he's the guy that has to help people get lined up and direct traffic and everything, I have a little bit of sympathy for that. That's that does, yet at the same time, the true veteran can do both. He can help everybody out and then go. This is like some substitute teacher who's trying to write the great American novel, but these damn kids won't leave him alone. And he starts blaming the kids for why he's not actually that good a writer,
right?
Okay? Like, at some point, just listen. Publish or perish, Dalton Schultz.
Yeah,
publish or perish.
I love that analogy. All right, let's make sure we get to these. Number 5, protect the football. This is a really good Packers defense when it comes to generating turnovers. No team in football does it better. 17 turnovers generated this year. They are +8 on turnover margin. Here's Bobby Slowick on the Packers secondary.
Yeah, they fly around. You know, they know what they're doing. They're on the details of their defense. I think Halfley does a really good job, you know, as far as schematically putting them in the right spots and letting them go cut it loose and play what they see. When they get there, they make the play almost every time. You know, like, every mistake against this defense is costly, and that's in the pass and the run game. You get loose with the ball in the run game, they make you pay. And there's been a number of fumbles that have been on the ground this year also. So that's really big for us. Just our emphasis this whole week has been protect the ball and how intentional we have to be in doing that, and how the scout team has to give us great looks at making sure that we do that in this game, because that's going to be a huge factor.
The secondary, obviously, Xavier McKinney has 5 interceptions on the year. Jair Alexander has a couple of interceptions. They poke the ball out. I feel good about the Texans' ball security.
Yeah.
They're their receivers and tight ends and everybody, when they have the ball, a lot of Texans cover up with both arms all the time. Stephon Diggs does that. So I think they've got the appropriate level of focus on ball security. It really just comes down to, okay, C.J. Stroud versus the secondary, and can they fool him? Can they force him into forcing a throw? All of that, which C.J. has talked about this week, too. I mean, he's super aware of all that.
The only Texan skill guy, and I'm not counting C.J. as a skill guy because we know C.J. had a fumble in the Buffalo game. The only Texan skill guy to put it on the ground this year is playing for the Vikings now. It's Cam Akers.
Oh, yeah. Cam Akers in the Chicago game.
Yeah, yep. So
that one nice drive they had. That's it. Yep. I think that with CJ versus this secondary, it's starting to be a lot of fun because CJ, I think, is seeing anything and everything from opposing defenses, and they're trying and testing his patience, and I think he's doing a really good job of it. It's just, you know, continuing to get better at being surgical. Like, defenses are putting the Texans in a position where they've just got to drive the ball down the field in 10 to 15 plays instead of in deep shots.
Yeah.
And they're getting cleaner and better at it, but that's the Tom Brady level. Like, that's where Tom Brady could just dink and dunk his way down the field when nobody else could, because it's just hard to do it without shooting yourself in the foot at some point.
Yep. Last thing, my prediction on this game, I have the Packers 31-27. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think it's going to be one of the more fun games of the year. I think home field and just the injuries on defense catching up to the Texans at some point in this game. And I think the Packers hit a big play at some point. I got Packers 31-27.
Yeah, and I'll have my prediction at the end.
Sounds good.
You and I are right around in the same territory.
Okay.
Though, in terms of total points and everything.
Sounds good. I like this. I get mine early. Seth kind of cogitates a little bit, and he gives his late in the show. I like that.
Sometimes maybe I'm waiting for an injury report or something.
That could
hypothetically
be.
Maybe. Yeah.
You do it with more info. That's smart. I'm not as smart. All right, headlines. Let's get to headlines next. We'll get you up to speed on those injuries with the Texans. Thursday night football. Playoffs last night in baseball. Man, Cleveland. Last night, that was something. We'll get to all of that coming up next.